What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Father Son Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Justin, and today we are joined by special guest Richard. He's a writer for FF Statistics and Rotorballer. What's going on, Richard?
What's up, Richard?
Yeah, I'm good. It's nice to speak to you guys about American football, as we call it, but football as you call it.
Nice.
I always enjoy going on a podcast, so yeah. Let's do this.
So yeah, football is growing. Well, American football is growing in popularity overseas, over across the pond, as they say, and more games coming there this year. I'm not sure who the games are, but I think they're having more and more games each year going over to the UK over at, I believe it's played at Wembley Stadium, right? Most of the time.
Yeah. So there's going to be, I'm going to all of them. Oh, wow. So there's two at Wembley and there's two at Tottenham Hotspur's new ground.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's nice then. That's really cool. Like a different, I mean, do they usually sell out?
Or? Yeah, so the tickets for the Tottenham games, they sold, like they call them season tickets, which is tickets to the two games. They sold out within an hour.
Wow.
So yeah, very popular over a season. That it should be. I mean, I guess it's entertaining, just like soccer, real it football, is. As you call it. Whenever you have those BPL teams or any of those big league teams come over here, they usually sell out at Yankee Stadium pretty quickly. So it's growing in popularity overseas, both spots for their football and our football. So it's pretty cool to see.
And Richard, you said you're 30 minutes from London, right?
About 30 minutes.
Yep. 30 minutes from London. So yeah, we have some good stuff to talk about on the show. But before we get started, where can they find you on Twitter, Richard?
So you can find me at RichKingFF.
Yeah, I'll have that in the link in the description below. You can follow me on Twitter at JustinFSFF and the podcast Twitter's at FatherSonFF. Dad, we're getting you on Twitter soon.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
The Twitter, what's it called? Rebirth. We're going to have you come back on. Hopefully, you get lots of followers.
A lot of people want me to get on Twitter.
He hasn't done
yeah,
it
well,
yet.
It's a big thing. Right? It's,
oh, yeah. Yep.
It's where everyone seems to go for all of their fantasy information, definitely. So
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll get on there.
Yeah. If you guys are new to the show and haven't subscribed already, please subscribe. Stay up to date with us. We post about 2 times a week right now and probably go to 3 times a week when it comes to later July and then early August in the prime off season. Last episode, we had a good discussion with Sam Lane, the Scott Fishbowl 8 champion. He's going down this year. We're still waiting on our invite. Hopefully, we get in. We should get in, I think. But
Yeah,
it'd be nice to get in that. You got into that, Richard, right?
Yeah, I did. I actually got my invite earlier this week. Nice. And I was really pumped. That was my first time.
Nice. So. Yeah. So we hope to be competing in it against you. We'll wait to see. He's got a couple more waves to go out, and I don't see how he won't, but we'll definitely see. And we talked about Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. We talked about Chris Godwin and his potential breakout season, and we talked about David Johnson. And then you have Sam and I made a nice little bet about Joe Mixon or David Johnson. I feel more confident in David Johnson every day, but that's just me.
Oh, he's in a new offense. He's got a new, everything's new, new over there. They're not going to be the lowest scoring team anymore. He's going to get back, hopefully, to where he was in 2016, which would be exciting.
Yeah, it would be very exciting to see him back in that form. So, without further ado, let's get into today's show, Dad.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so a lot of people want that first pick in their draft at home whenever they get going, and so a lot of people don't even think it's up to discussion, but I want to ask you, is Saquon Barkley the 101 in every draft? I'll ask you first, Dad. I know you're going to be biased a little bit towards it, but...
I don't see how he can't be the number one. I mean, you're number... absolutely is. I mean, last year's rookie season, he played behind a terrible offensive line with a terrible low-scoring offense, right? He delivered a fantasy MVP worthy performance. He was a running back one in 75% of his games while being RB2 in 93.8%. I mean, that's a pretty good stat. I mean, you can get excited about his target shares this year, I hope, now that OBJ is gone. But at the same time, it might bring more attention to him in the running game. So overall, you got to take him number one if you got number one. I don't have a problem if they take Zeke number one, but you got to take Barkley number one.
You think so? What about you, Richard? What are you thinking if you had the number one pick overall?
If I've got that number one pick, I'd probably go for Barkley, to be fair. I mean, it's going to be really close. I'm not going to hate someone if they go for Elliott because
right.
That Dallas offense is pretty good, and you know that he's just going to be plugged and plugged and plugged and plugged.
And McCaffrey's pretty good, too. I mean, he's going to go probably three, I mean, I don't have a problem with taking either one of them at one, but you got to take Barkley if you got the first pick.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Maybe yeah. Primarily talk PPR drafts. You get that 1 point per reception. So McCaffrey's even, I guess, more considered in the argument for number one overall in those kind of leagues. I think it's Saquon, too. I mean, last year he was a rookie, and now he's got another year of experience. And they got Kevin Zeitler from the Browns that should upgrade their offensive line. He was like 14th in run blocking, number one in pass blocking last year. He was third in running back targets, and he was number one in weighted opportunity share. And now Odell Beckham's gone, so it's even more opportunity for him. Third in red zone touches last year in that awful offense with 61. So now you can think maybe they get in the red zone a little bit more, give him more touches. He was third in breakaway runs, which is 15-plus yards. And now he's got a better offensive line. And he was number one in yards created with 688. Second place was Derrick Henry with 550. So he had that big jump over there, and I don't see him slowing down. And people, I guess, are trying to get a little too cute with it, taking Zeke over him. I think you take Saquon, and I don't even think you turn back because he can do it all. And he's still young, less touches, less wear and tear than Zeke has, and he's still got something to prove.
And those quads are massive as well.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah, those things can crush a watermelon for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget that.
All right, so next I want to talk about is a guy going like two rounds later, and I think it's a little too early. And that's Zach Ertz. So last season, you saw him set the tight end reception record.
Oh, absolutely.
And tight ends, people in redraft, they it's hard to value him. So right now, he's going in the third round. He's going ahead of guys like T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper. So, Richard, what are you doing with Zach Ertz in your draft? Say you come around to that late second round. Are you taking him or even early third round? Are you taking Zach Ertz over guys such as Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, and other guys going around him?
For me, I quite like Zach Ertz in the third. I just think that you've got that top tier of tight ends that are really going to give you a positional advantage, I think, at tight end. You've got, you know, to Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle. And I think they're a lot different to the others. I mean, they're the only ones that have really got a target share of like over 20% last season, including Jordan Reed, but we won't even discuss him because he's always injured.
Yes.
So I think the drop-off at tight end between those three and the next tier is quite significant. And if I'm on the clock and making a decision between you know, like a tier two, tier three kind of receiver, I think I'd probably go tight end. But I think I'm only doing it for one of those three. And even when I say those three, I think it's almost Kelce's in his tier of his own, and then you've got Ertz and Kittle.
Yeah, I agree with that. So Kelce's going around the 203 in draft, so early second round. And right now, Zach Ertz is going like early third round, 301, 302. And then you have Kittle right behind him at 305. Dad, what are you doing with Zach Ertz? I know you like Zach Ertz. We have him on our dynasty team together. So,
as of right now, if I was put in that spot, I wouldn't take him in the third round. I would wait on a tight end and maybe pick up O.J. Howard a little later or somebody, or Ingram, somebody later like that. Now, the top three tight ends are fantastic, right? All right, last year, like you said, he saw a record 156 targets. I mean, this year they got Dallas Goedert. So in his second season, he had an impressive rookie campaign. You have additions, DeSean Jackson, J.J. Whiteside, and Miles Sanders. So you have to wonder, is he going to get a loss of targets? Either way, 156 targets last year is pretty impressive. And still, it's rare to find a tight end who can average 8 to 10 targets a game as he's done. He's my number three after Kelce and Kittle. But if I was to the third round as of right now, I would let him slide. I would get that wide receiver right there and take a shot in a round or two at O.J. Howard or somebody.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem if you do take Zach Ertz like that. Like, there's a big positional advantage taking one of those top three tight ends, like Richard said.
Sure.
And they have that stable volume coming from the passing game. It does worry me a little bit now that they do have Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert going into his second season, maybe commanding some more targets. They did run a league high in two tight end sets. And that kind of doesn't really worry me that much. But, I mean, in the red zone, I can see Dallas go there where he showed he was efficient last year as a rookie, which is really rare for tight ends. I can see him getting used more there. They also drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he's going to make a big rookie impact. I don't think he will. I think Alshon Jeffrey's still there. But There is more target competition this year, but he's still definitely going to get his. I just don't know if you're going to see that many targets again this year. And I think if you bet on him getting 156 targets, you're going to be wrong. But I can still see in the 110 to 130 range for sure. I just don't know if it's worth taking over guys such as Amari Cooper or, I don't know, if Keenan Allen falls. But sometimes in your home league drafts, you're going to see guys fall. Like, you can see a Mike Evans fall into the third round. If it's Mike Evans or Zach Ertz, I'm taking Mike Evans.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd be taking Mike Evans in that case.
Yeah, and in home leagues, you're going to see more falls than not, I feel like. So you can have some guys slip. Like, it's possible to see Damian Williams even slip. I'd rather have Damian Williams over Zach Ertz. No, but
we don't have a problem if someone were to take him there.
If you're going to take Zach Ertz in the third round, I'm not going to knock you for it. I think personally, my team, I like the way it looks more by not taking him. And then, like my dad said, I'd rather have O.J. Howard or Evan Engram two or three rounds later.
But if he can continue his 8 to 10 targets a game, I mean that's a lot of targets for a tight end.
It is.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you don't opt for that tight end, I think you should only really wait a two or three rounds, because I think you've obviously got that elite tier that we were talking about. Then you've got a bunch of tight ends that I don't mind.
Yep.
And then there's just I don't want really any.
Right.
Yeah, if you don't get those guys at a tier after, like Richard said, I think you're just waiting as late as possible and just take a shot at someone.
Yeah, I'm just I think I would literally, if I didn't get that next tier after that, and by that I mean, you know, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, OJ Howard, then I think I'm just gonna literally sit, make it my last pick, and just look at week one matchup.
Yep.
Yeah, and just stream. Yeah, I like that idea.
That's not a bad idea either.
That's tight end strat right there for sure. Now, another team that has volume and good receivers is the Rams. You saw them last year with Cooks, Robert Woods breaking out. And Cooper Kupp, who was doing really, really well before injury. Cooper Kupp's back now, coming off that ACL tear. And it's kind of hard to, like, place these three receivers. On Twitter, you see all these people have them in different rankings. I think Cooks is number one. And I like Woods a lot, the value. But they're all going at different spots in the draft. Cooks is going at the 406 in draft. Robert Woods is going right behind him at the 407. And Cooper Kupp's going at the 411. So they're all in the same round.
They're all right there. They're all right in the same category.
So who would you better have, Dad, out of the three, or you want to start talking with Brandon Cooks first?
I like Woods. I like Robert Woods out of those three. Now, Woods doesn't offer the upside of a top-tier guy, but he's as steady as a consistent wide receiver, too, that you can get in your lineup. I mean, he just gets the job done. I like Woods over the three of them. Now, in 2018, believe it or not, that was Cook's most consistent season from a fantasy standpoint, right?
Yep.
With Kupp and Woods getting theirs, it's hard for Cook to get into elite territory, but he's still consistent and you can have confidence in taking him also as a high-end wide receiver too. Now, some are going to be concerned about the after effects of his ACL injury, but you shouldn't be. In his 2 years, he posted wide receiver two or better numbers in almost 50% of games, which he was better than a career of Jarvis Landry, Brandon Cooks, Keenan Allen, and T.Y. Hilton. So, I mean, it's Woods for me. Cooks is right there, and Kupp is right there. So I think you got to take Woods, Cooks, and then Kupp.
Woods, Cooks, and Kupp.
I mean, they're all three fans. They're going to get their targets because they're an explosive offense.
Yeah. I mean, what about you, Richard? What do you say about those three guys?
I mean, for me, I prefer Kupp or Woods because I just think that while Cooks is – he's got that breakout potential in any given week – I'd kind of like, if I'm looking at fourth round, then I've probably already got one wide receiver, so I'm looking for a decent wide receiver too. I think that the consistency of Woods and Kupp is quite significant. Kupp especially, you know, big red zone weapon for Jared Goff. So I think that's actually an interesting point as well. I mean, everyone seems to be overlooking Jared Goff, and if you're looking at three wide receivers going in the fourth round, then you kind of have to expect a decent season for him too. So I think he's definitely one of my late round quarterbacks that I'm looking for. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So before injury, Kupp was scoring at the wide receiver 15, and he's really efficient. The slot helps with that. He also was fourth in fantasy points per target. And right now he's going at, I think, that's the 20th wide receiver. So you get that little tiny injury discount. So if he falls enough, I'm probably going with the cheapest one out of the three. If I'm drafting, like, I'm not going to reach for Brandon Cooks. I like Robert Woods, but he's appropriately priced, in my opinion, this year, so it's kind of tough. I'm not going to take him at his value. So if Kupp falls out of the fourth round, I'll probably lean him. I will say this is the first year in three seasons where Brandon Cooks does not have to learn a new offense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another year in that offense with Sean McVay, which is not the easiest offense to understand for sure because of how smart and, you know, mastermind he is. So I think that can also help him out. And he was finished as a wide receiver 16, and he's actually going as the wide receiver 16 right now. And now is only playing 14 out of the 16 games, not 15. He missed a game with a concussion. So he probably would have been, he would have been the wide receiver 13 if he had 11 more points. So given that game, if he had 11 points, he would have been the wide receiver 13, not 16. So if he slips past the wide receiver 16 in drafts, I'm not going to overlook it. I'll probably take Brandon Cooks. And then Robert Woods, we already said, this guy's just, I like him a lot. He finished as wide receiver 9 last year. He's going as the 18th wide receiver right now. So that's even more discount, but Cup is going to come back. So that's going to take away some targets. Mm-hmm. So he averaged 8 targets a game, 5 receptions, 71 yards, and 0.4 touchdowns over his last 28 games with the Rams. Everything increased last year. His targets increased, receptions, yards, average increase with the addition of Brandon Cooks. So it's a good thing. And we had Ben Cummins on the show last year, and hopefully get him on again. He's a big fan of Robert Woods. And last season was his first fully healthy season as an NFL. And he also had a really good breakout age, 18, which is 98th percentile. And it did take a little bit for him to get going because he was on Buffalo. And you're not going to do much with Rex Ryan and friends. Right. So now he's in a good offense. He's finally showing what he can do. And I love him. I mean, I like all three, honestly. And he was 7th in snap share last year and 13th in the league in targets. And the Rams were also 3rd in plays run last year and 2nd in points per game. So they're going to run a lot of plays, and they're also going to score a lot of points. So there's not really a bad pick out of these three. I feel like if you're choosing between the three, I might as well just go with the cheapest. And if they fall past the wide receiver 16 rank, like say there's 17 wide receivers off the board, I wouldn't feel bad about taking any of them at that point.
Yeah, I think talking about Cup's ACL, I don't think it's as big a deal as it used to be. But that injury now, the recovery is a lot better than it ever used to be.
Sure.
And it's not the big career-ending injury, and I don't think it's going to change him as much as people necessarily expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, ACL, the technology and science behind all that, it's definitely, you see more people recover from it and come back stronger. Typically, you see second season after an ACL tear, they get back to 100%, but they're still not 100% first season back, but still perform around 80% plus. So hopefully it was not late enough in the season to be that drastic, but I can see him. We'll see how he does with training camp and practicing and whatnot, but he could be a little slow to start, which could make the discount even more come August time for during drafts. So if he falls even lower in a wide receiver, I'll be happy to take him. Another guy that I really want, and that's DJ Moore. He's going in the 6th round right now, right behind Tyler Boyd, 604. And this guy's just a screaming value to me. You saw him as a rookie perform pretty well from weeks 8 to 16. He was a wide receiver 23. And then week 8 was his first week where he saw 70-plus percent of snaps. So that's when he started getting used in the offense, and he did perform. And then 5 out of those 9 games from week 8 to 16, he had 8 or more targets. I like to see that. And then he only had 2 of 5 or less targets. And he also finished 3 times inside the top 20 in those weeks. And the Panthers now have lost Devin Funchess. And they have 90 open targets. They're not all going to go to DJ Moore, obviously. But I can see them giving it to DJ Moore. Curtis Samuel is coming into his another year after doing pretty well last season. So those guys are probably going to get a little bump in targets. And he was also 13th in yards after the catch last year, while only playing 9 games of 50% snap share or more. So to be 13th in the league with not playing that much, that's pretty impressive as a rookie. So I'm banking on DJ Moore. You see second-year breakouts more often than third-year breakouts, and it's hard for rookie wide receivers to produce. So the fact that he did produce in his rookie year, it says a lot to me. And I like DJ Moore going into his second year. What about you, Richard?
DJ Moore is an interesting guy. So I've been just recently looking at reception perception, stuff that Matt Harmon does. And DJ Moore doesn't actually really score that well. Curtis Samuel, on the other hand, scores really, really well. So I think in that offense, when there's a lot of targets that are available, I think I'm going to go for, I think ultimately I'll probably go for Curtis Samuel. But I don't hate your selection of DJ Moore. I think that he will ultimately, you know, he'll finish the season a lot better than he did last season. I think in that Carolina offense, he's certainly, you know, one of the leading guys who's going to be getting targets in that offense. I just think that come the end of the season, it depends what you want from your team. I think DJ Moore is probably going to be your more consistent scorer week to week. And I think Curtis Samuel is probably going to be the guy who, you know, he could lose you a week scoring 2 points, or he could win you a week scoring 3 touchdowns. You know, that, and I think that's kind of the difference between the two.
Yeah, and DJ Moore is going as 28th wide receiver off the board in the 6th round, 4th pick. And then that would probably be your wide receiver 2, maybe 3 on your team, depending on how many you start. And Curtis Samuel, like you mentioned, He's going as his 53rd wide receiver,
right?
The 12-01, that's crazy. That much of a difference. And like you said, he did perform really well on reception perception in the limited sample size that he had last year. But I think in the draft, I'd rather have the cheaper option here, especially if it's that cheap. 6th round discount, and he's going to be your wide receiver 4 or 5, and you can just flex play him during the matchup, so you don't have to bank on him every week. Hopefully you play him during his boom weeks, not his bust weeks. But yeah, it's a good point. I think in drafts, if DJ Moore slips, I'll probably take him, but I'm more excited for the discount on Curtis Samuel in drafts. What about you, Dad?
Yeah, I like Kurt. I'm going to agree with Richard. I like Curtis Samuels more than I do DJ Moore too. So he became a full-time wide receiver right around week 8. So we have seen a glimpse of what he can offer. So in saying that, his teammate Curtis Samuels, as we were just talking about, saw nearly the same target share and actually offered a more consistent production. Now, Moore is the more superior player. There's no question about it. So he sees more of the top-tier cornerbacks than Samuels will. But if you're taking Moore, I think he's best suited as a wide receiver 3 with Cam Newton's hit-or-miss accuracy. So I would rather hold off on DJ Moore and take Curtis Samuels a lot later on.
Yeah, Curtis Samuels probably lining up on the outside more often. I think DJ Moore is in the slot, so that does help with matchups against cornerbacks.
Sure,
so you're probably going to see linebacker more often than not. But I've, like you said, rather take a discount right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a guy going right ahead of DJ Moore in drafts is Tyler Boyd. You saw him third-year breakout last year, and he performed even better with AJ Green on the field, actually. So I want to hear what you have to say about Tyler Boyd, Dad.
I like Tyler Boyd this year. So A.J. Green is going about the middle of the 3rd round. Boyd is going toward the later of the 6th round. So the way I see it is A.J. Green is dropping in drafts while Boyd is moving up. It's not to say Boyd will return to the great waiver wire pickup that he had last year, because I know I picked him up off the waiver wire and he did pretty decent. But the last 2 seasons, he scored only 15 PPR points just twice in 26 games. So you got to be a little worried about that with A.J. Green coming back. So it's going to be hard for him, I think, to be the player that saw 7 or more targets in 9 of 14 games, like I just said, with A.J. Green coming back. And the problem I have with Cincinnati is, can Andy Dalton support 2 consistent top 24 receivers? With Boyd, that's what you're banking on, because we know Green will be there if he's healthy. The only time Dalton has ever produced 2 top 30 wide receivers was in 2014. So Boyd could take a leap in the new offense. So I think he's being drafted at a ceiling with the hopes of an A.J. Green injury. But I do like Tyler Boyd.
What do you think about Tyler Boyd, Richard?
So I pretty much echo the thoughts of your dad. I think that, he's going to be a great player. And I think a lot of people are going to reach on him because they're just going to remember the production from last year and how they felt about it without remembering that they picked him up as a waiver wire player.
Right.
And that's why they really liked him.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that's interesting for the Bengals is the fact that, you know, that the new coach has come in, Zach Taylor from the Rams, and he's basically said that he wants to kind of install that offense. So I think AJ Green is probably going to take that Brandon Cooks role, and then it's a case of Boyd and Ross, which roles they take.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy Dalton is as talented as Jared Goff, and I think we're going to be looking at a scaled back Rams offense. So, I don't hate Tyler Boyd, but I think that there's going to be better options around him. I think you're ultimately going to be disappointed. I mean, I prefer Mike Williams, who's at the end of the 5th. That's one guy I think I'd prefer over Tyler Boyd, certainly this season.
It's going to be tough with AJ Green coming back to see what they do, because we'll see what Andy Dalton can do, because he's going to have to get them both the ball to make Boyd be at the value he was last year.
Yeah, so I actually like Tyler Boyd with AJ Green there. We're talking about Andy Dalton not being the same caliber as Jared Goff, and that may be true, but this is the guy who finished as the QB 4 or 5 a couple years ago. People forget about that. And then before Sean McVay got to Jared Goff, what was Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher? He wasn't much, but then again, that was also his rookie season. I don't think Andy Dalton's going to be as good as Jared Goff for sure, but I think he can be, you know, he's startable some weeks, especially with how deep the quarterback position is this year. And Tyler Boyd with AJ Green in the lineup posted stat lines, 15 targets, 11 receptions, 100 yards. You saw him a couple weeks later do 10 targets, 9 catches, 138 yards and a touchdown. He also had 9 targets, 7 catches, 62 yards and 2 touchdowns. He lines up in the slot 74% of the time. And he was also, like I said, didn't really do much his first 2 seasons, but third-year breakouts are a thing. And to put his third-year breakout in perspective, over the last 5 years, 60 wide receivers finished their third season with 50 or more targets. Tyler Boyd's rank among them. He was 10th in receptions, 10th in receiving yards, 8th in catch rate, and 9th in yards per target. His player comparable on playerprofiler.com is Adam Thielen, who's pretty good, undrafted. And yeah, he had more targets whenever AJ Green was out, but over at thequantedge.com, which we're affiliated with, you can go over there, use promo code FSFF, and they have the route metrics and whatnot. So running a post route, which was his most targeted route, Tyler Boyd last year, he had 17 targets, 11 catches, a touchdown, and he posted a QBR rating for Andy Dalton and Jeff Drixel, whatever happened last year at the end of that, of 128. His second most was 14 targets at the out route, and he had an 84 QBR, not that great. Then his next three, he had 12 targets, 11 targets, 10 targets, and you saw a 96 QBR, 146.8 QBR, and 108 QBR. So he is pretty efficient in the places he does get targeted a lot for a subpar quarterback in Andy Dalton. And being in a slot, like I said, you always see that advantage. So he's a slot receiver. It does help. He is currently going as the wide receiver 27. And like Richard said, since people got him on the free agency last year, they may see him available in the fifth round and take him there. I won't take him in the fifth round. I'll probably take him at value in the sixth round, depending on who's available. Between him or DJ Moore, it's really tough who I'd rather have. I think I am taking Tyler Boyd there because I'd rather have Curtis Samuel later if I had to choose one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if I was choosing between Boyd and Moore, I'd go Boyd because I think he's got a greater chance of scoring more touchdowns than Moore, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, some running backs that people have a tough time evaluating, and it's always the Patriots' backfield. You know, Bill Belichick likes to do his thing of just keep drafting running backs. This year you saw him draft Damian Harris, and so rumor has it it's that James White has his role secured. We'll talk about him in a second. Rex Burkhead has his red zone role secured. So the main thing that they're fighting for right now is Sony Michel versus Damian Harris. And I also saw a report said I think Sony Michel hasn't practiced since May 8th or something like that. So Sony Michel is going as the running back 23 right now at the 405. I want to know what you think about Sony Michel this year, Dad.
Well, I'm going to piggyback the two of them together.
Okay, go for
it. Mitchell and Harris. So Mitchell finished as RB 28 despite missing 3 games in his rookie year. Question is, can he take that massive jump in production like most teams need with his lack of the use in a passing game? So he's only had 7 receptions in 13 games, right? So, I mean, could third round pick Harris steal some early down work? Still should provide some RB 2 value. But on that same note, Harris, it's odd that the Patriots drafted another running back. I don't understand that because he's probably the number 4 on the depth chart. But some are saying that he has no fantasy value. But if something were to happen to Mitchell, then Harris would probably take over and could be top 20 value. He could be that number 1 guy there because you know James White and Burkhead won't move into that spot. They already got their roles. They're not the main running back. So if something were to happen to Mitchell, Harris could be a good value.
So number 4 in the depth chart, but really Sonny Michel's backup. So with Sonny Michel's injury concerns,
he hasn't practiced in a while either. So who knows what's going on there.
Yeah. What do you think about Sonny Michel and Damian Harris, Richard?
I didn't really like Michel's value where he is in the fourth round. I think, as you said, he's not really using the passing game. I mean, he is effective in the passing game. You know, he showed that in college, but he's not been able to show that in the NFL. And I think with James White still there, he's not going to get the chance to. If I'm looking at Fantasy Football Calculator, who's around him, you've got David Montgomery, who's likely going to be the lead back in Chicago. You've got Mark Ingram a couple spots back from him, who, again, is going to be the lead guy in Baltimore. I think that with Michelle being the Patriots running back, week to week, you're going to be guessing. And I think that if you can't rely on those him being involved in the passing game, then I think that there's better options at that ADP. A round or two later, if Michel were to slide, which I don't think he will, I would consider him. But in a full PPR league, I'm not touching him in the fourth.
I agree with everything you said right there. That's a really hype. Your first four rounds, you want to get guys that are going to contribute to each week. And Sony Michel, with him not being used in the passing game because they have James White, a really good receiving running back there, it's not helping your team at all. Sony Michel was 32nd in opportunity share last year. And, you're not expecting him to get a lot with that offense. But, like, the thing you're banking on is touchdowns. So he was, I was going to say, 8th in red zone touches last year and 9th in goal line carries last year. So you're banking on touchdowns. I think he's a better best ball option than he is a redraft, because you're going to start him some weeks. He's not going to have a touchdown and you're not going to be happy with it. But it's a tough backfield to decipher. And James White, in PPR, he's going in the 5th round right now. It's probably appropriately priced. I think that's a premium you're paying for a pass-catching running back. But I do think he's going to be 2nd in the team in targets behind Julian Edelman. So I'm not hating that price, really, but I'm not going to really want to take him in the 5th round because you're only going to get pass catches. It's not a sexy pick, but it could get it done for your running back, too, if you really need to. So what do you think about James White, Dad?
I love James White this year. I mean,
even the 5th round?
Even in the 5th round. And here's why. I mean, he's going to have similar role to last year, right, because they're not going to use Mitchell in a passing game. We already talked about that. So his role's not going to change. But what's going to change is Gronk, Patterson, and Hogan are all gone, right? So it could be a real good year for White. I think he's still being undervalued. He has been a productive player. I think he finished as a RB8. I know he was inside the top 10 last year, I believe. I mean, there are a number of mouths to feed in the Patriots backfield. Last year, he's coming off a top 10 performance. But a lot of fantasy owners are going to be hesitant about taking him earlier than his ADP. Me, I wouldn't have a problem taking him earlier. I mean, last year, he had 1,176 yards from scrimmage and 12 touchdowns. That's pretty good. I mean, currently he's going in the middle of the 7th round, I believe.
No, he went up. He's middle of the 5th round.
In the middle of what?
5th.
Okay, so he is moving up. So at that value where I seen him at 7, I thought he's being undervalued, and I still think he's going to be undervalued. So I like James White this year.
Running back 12 last year, weeks 1 and 16. That's really good, though. That's top 12 running back, and he's only catching passes.
So with Gronk and them gone, I think he's going to do it again.
Yeah. What about you, Richard? What do you think about James White?
Yeah, I think 5th round is probably I wouldn't draft him if he moved up any further. I think that as you say, there's a lot of targets that are leaving that offense with Gronk leaving. I think one thing you'll see is, if you look at James White's previous seasons, he had 40 receptions in 2015, 48 in 16, 51 in 17, and 87 last year. So I think that reception number might come down, but I think that I don't think it'll come down significantly enough that I would be really, really off of him. The one thing I wouldn't maybe be worried about is touchdown regression. I think scoring 7 receiving touchdowns is maybe. I don't think he'll get back to that this season, but I do think he is a good value where he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Touchdowns probably come down to, you probably see at least 4. So 4 to 6 is probably the more really reasonable range. 7 is a little high, but that's still top 24 running back if you look at it with the more targets he should be getting. So a little more targets, a little less touchdowns, it could balance out pretty well. And he's not a bad pick, especially if he falls past like the mid-5th round, because come draft time, I don't think you're going to be with as savvy people. So you're going to see people like going towards the Mark Ingrams, the Darius Geises, the Darrell Henderson's going to keep moving up. So he could fall into that 6th round. You can get an extremely good value because he's just a pass-catching running back. It's just James White. Now, another guy going right in front of James White, the 503, 26th running back off the board, is Kenyon Drake. I don't like Kenyon Drake at all. Last year, people were high on him. I wasn't like too high on him.
I'm going to disagree with you.
All right. Well, I'm going to
go ahead. You finish. I'm going to disagree with you.
All right. I'm going to tell you why I don't like Kenyon Drake.
All right. Let me hear it.
He's really talented. I'm not going to deny that. He had a 34.7% juke rate, which is 7th in the league. He 10th in yards per touch, which is 10.8. 73 targets last year as 12th in the league. The only problem I have with him is that team is awful. I think Miami or Washington is going to be one of the lowest scoring teams in the league this year. Last season, Kenyon Drake was 55th in red zone touches. He was 34th in opportunity share last year. And they had only Kalen Ballage in the backfield last year, and they still have only Kalen Ballage, but that low in opportunities here. They're not relying on that one back. I don't like that. And another thing I want to say is he was 63rd in goal line carries. 63rd. He had one goal line carry last year. I don't see Miami getting to the goal line. They have arguably the worst quarterback in the league in Josh Rosen. And then I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick should start over Josh Rosen.
He's probably going to.
Yeah,
probably will. He's but looking good right now.
I like the talent on Kenyon Drake. I don't like the team, and I don't like the opportunity. I don't like where he's going in drafts. So why do you like Kenyon Drake?
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Look, he's athletic. He has explosive speed. He's fast, and he's a good route runner. So he's definitely the most talented guy in Miami. I agree with you that Miami's offense is terrible. But that didn't seem – even though he's the most talented, Adam Gase is now gone, who I think was terrible. So now I think he's going to get the touches he deserves under new coach Brian Flores. Last year he finished as the number 17 running back despite not topping 17 touches a game and only hitting more than 10 touches seven times. I mean, he doesn't offer top five upside, but he could be a steady RB2 this year. So now Flores really likes him. He knows Drake. He lost to them twice in the last couple of years, right? 2017, Drake had a career high 193 yards from scrimmage. Remember that?
I do.
And then a year later, 2018, he pulled off the Miami Miracle. Remember that?
I remember that one against New England.
Where they did a couple of laterals, and then he ran it in for like 52 yards or something like that. So, I mean, new head coach, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he does better than he did last year.
Okay. What about you, Richard? Where do you stand on Kenyon Drake?
I'm somewhat in the middle. I think just the sheer amount of usage he's going to get, he's going to have some fantasy value, because if you get that many touches, yes, I think his efficiency will come down. But you know, even last season, he was still, you know, 4.4 per carry. So I think if I would expect that to come down with the touches increasing, but I still think that if he's the only running back in Miami, then he is going to have some value. I don't know if I really love him in the fifth, because I generally like running backs to be, you know, not higher scoring offenses. And as you said, I don't think this Miami team is any good. I would probably, in terms of starting quarterback, I'd probably say that the team has to start with Josh Rosen, I think, because they're going to have to make a decision on whether let's be honest, they're going to be looking at a high draft pick.
Sure.
Yeah. This season, right? Yeah. So they need to know, is that going to be a quarterback or is that not? And the only way they can really answer that question is, truly, how is Josh Rosen as a player? I mean, in Arizona, he sucked, but I think you could have put a lot of decent quarterbacks behind that offensive line and said, you know, they look awful. Yeah. So I think they'll have to start with Josh Rosen, and I guess I'll just have to see what they've got from him. So, yeah, so to kind of surmise, Kenyon Drake will be fantasy relevant and have value because he's just going to get so many touches. But I think for me personally, I would probably steer clear of him just where he is now. I mean, we just spoke about James White and he's going a couple of picks behind him, or Chris Carson, who's going to, you know, one pick before him. I think I prefer Chris Carson over Kenyon Drake this season.
Yeah. I had Drake last year. He was a fantasy nightmare. You didn't know what week you could count on, really.
Sorry. So guys going around Drake and that, I want to see what you take. So Kenyon Drake or Sammy Watkins? Say you had even amount, 2-2. You don't, you know, severe flex.
Kenyon Drake
or Tyler Lockett?
Lockett.
I'm going Lockett. Kenyon Drake or Chris Godwin?
Godwin, of course. I love Godwin this year.
Landry or Kenyon Drake?
Drake.
Tariq Cohen, Kenyon Drake? This is like...
Drake.
I'm going Drake over that. And then what about you, Richard? Are you going Sammy Watkins or Kenyon Drake?
I'm assuming Tyreek Hill isn't playing, so I'm going to say Watkins.
And then Lockett or Kenyon Drake?
I'll probably go Drake in that situation.
Really?
Just because it starts getting quite close at that point, because Lockett had a ridiculously efficient season, and if I'm ever in a position where I've got two players who are really, really similar and I'm equal, then I'm probably going to lean a running back, because then I've got a blocker to anyone else who wants to own him. And I've got an effective like flex play at worst.
That's very true. And then Landry or Kenyon Drake?
Full PPR, I'll probably take Landry, because I quite like, I think that, you know, that baseline of receptions, I think even with Beckham in that offense, isn't going to change massively.
Yeah. And then lastly, Chris Godwin or Kenyon Drake?
Godwin. All
right.
It's not even.
Yeah, Godwin's getting even all the hype right there. All right. And then last thing I want to talk about, who is one sleeper you're looking at in drafts this year, Richard?
So I quite like Ronald Jones. Reason being I just think where you're drafting him, you're drafting him at his floor. I think. Where he's been drafted is around about the price of. I'm just going to get his exact position right now, unless you've got it in front of you.
Yeah, he's going in a 91st pick overall, 806. So.
Okay, so at that point, you're looking at high value handcuffs and low end starters. And I think that Ronald Jones, you know, with Bruce Arians running that offense, I think that you'll see usage the same as David Johnson had in Arizona. Now, I'm not saying that Ronald Jones is David Johnson, because he's not, but ultimately this guy was, you know, he was drafted as a second round back and people didn't think that was, you know, a massive out of line. I think that Tampa offense last season, really, they had to score points because their defense struggled so much. They've improved the defense this season, and that to me means that I think you've got a pass catching running back there on an offense that can run more games than it loses.
Yeah, definitely a polarizing player this offseason. My dad's on him.
I like Ronald Jones this year, also as a sleeper. You know, the Bucks are not a good team last year. But they were a great fantasy offense if you had them.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing they lacked was a running game. They didn't use a running game for nothing. Now they got a new coach this year. They didn't make any changes at running back. They didn't draft any running backs or nothing. So I think it's Jones's to lose. They got to make that next step as a team. They got involved in the running game. And you got Ronald Jones and Barber there.
Gotcha. And that's going to do it for today's episode. One more time, Richard, thank you for coming on. Where can people find you on Twitter again?
Rich King FF.
Yeah, I'll have it in the link in the description below. If you guys made it this far, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, please do so. All 5-star reviews will be right on the pod, so give us a 5-star review. We'll shout you out. We're going to do Listener League, trying to get people in the Listener League soon, so we'll set that up. So 5-star reviews is going to be a way you can enter into that. I hope you guys enjoyed today's content. If you guys are new, please subscribe. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, Richard, for coming.